So let's read this act for those of you who do not recognize this, which you certainly don't have to. 1 Corinthians 13 is very often called the love chapter of the Bible because it gives a clear definition. It gives a clear understanding of what love is. And what love is might be surprising. And the reason that that's important is because Jesus himself said, when asked, what are the greatest commandments? Actually, he was asked, what is the great commandment? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And so Jesus said, the most important thing that you could do is love God. And then he said, the second most important thing you could do is love other people. He put it, love your neighbor as yourself. He said, these are the two most important things that we could do. Now we have life that it bombards us with all kinds of things. And often the two greatest things, according to Jesus, get pushed a little bit further in the back. Sometimes we're very good at loving people because they're around us. You know, you love your family, you love your kids, you love your friends, because they're right there often. And that's the second greatest commandment. The first one is to love God. But what we need to know is what love is, because very often we can define love by what we see in our culture. So there's plenty of things which talk about love if you watch movies or if you watch TV, and most of that isn't really love. We say it's love, but it really isn't what the Bible says love is. I've heard, and many of you probably have similar experiences of couples which say, you know, I love him, and he, you know, he'll say he loves her. And then you start talking about, you know, the issues that they have, and you're thinking, well, that doesn't match up with the Bible hardly at all. And so since it's the greatest commandment, it's good to know what love really is. Because at the end of our life, we don't want to get to a place where we think we've done what the Bible says and then we didn't really even know what the requirements are. So we're going to read some of that today. That's the setting. Verse number 1, 1 Corinthians 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but I have not love, it profits me nothing. So here is the clearest definition in the Bible of what love is. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. When you hear that definition, you almost have to say, uh-oh. Uh-oh. If that's what love is, I'm probably falling short on many of the characteristics. It's not the mushy, you know, run along the beach type of love that is shown in the movies. This is serious stuff. This has character. This has some real meat to it, and it's way too much to go through in one day. And when you hear those things and you start thinking about how do I act towards people that are around me, sometimes I wonder if we have more love for our pets than we do for the people around us. For our dog, we're more patient with our dog than we are with people. We're more forgiving with our dog than we are with people. We're more, and you could fill in the blank. It happens. So remember, it's the greatest commandment to know what love is and to show love, so we should know what it is. And so we're only going to look at a couple of these things. And today, you know, the Bible tells us that in Proverbs 21, it tells us that men usually think more highly of themselves than they should. So most of you probably say, well, I got no problem with love. I love everybody. Oh, yeah, people, I love them all. But then when we start looking at the practical side of these characteristics, we wonder, do we really follow what the Bible says love is? So that's what we're going to look at today. And I would say to you, as we go through these, I'll give you plenty of examples that you should probably just think about yourself and think about how you handle things. Don't think about the person sitting next to you. Don't think about him or her and say, yeah, she really needs to hear this, or he really needs to hear this. No, think about yourself. Kind of do a mental grading of yourself. You know, where do I fall in this scale? Where do I fall in exhibiting these characters? You know, kind of like the doctor, you go into the doctor and he asks a common question is, what's your pain level? And he says, you know, grade yourself on a, you know, 1 to 10 scale. Well, be honest with yourself. See where you are on this pain scale. See where you are in this love scale. And be honest with yourself. Because that's all that's what this is, to open your eyes to say, this is the most important thing, so I should be doing it. I should be doing this thing. So just give yourself a little bit of a grade in your mind. No one's going to ask you. But you should know. So let's talk about the first one. Love is patient. Many versions say long-suffering. Patient, long-suffering, kind of almost the same thing, slight differences. Patient, long-suffering. So what is this? What does this mean? If you're patient, you're able to tolerate problems without getting upset, without getting anxious, without getting annoyed. If you're patient, you're able to tolerate the unexpected without getting annoyed, without getting angry, without getting frustrated. If you're patient, you're able to handle things that you don't like necessarily, especially when somebody else is doing them. When somebody else is doing something, and it might not be your way, it might not be the way that you like or the way you would do it, but it's not necessarily wrong, and maybe it is even wrong. How do you handle it? What's your reaction? See, patience is a reactionary thing. Patience is something that you react to someone else's behavior, or you react to a circumstance. If your computer is not doing what it wants to do, how do you react? If your phone is not behaving the way, if the internet is not fast enough for you, how do you react? And what is your patience? What is your tolerance for those things? And you could go on and on. There are so many examples, and you have to learn to put yourself in those places and say, how is my reaction? How do I tolerate this situation? How do I tolerate this person? This person's not like me. Very different. Maybe they're more emotional. Maybe they're more logical, and you don't like logic when you're just trying to vent. And that person just annoys you. Patience. Because remember, love is patient. Number one, right out of the box. Love is patient. What happens when your boss dumps something on you last minute? How do you react? What happens when you're treated not fairly? When something comes along and you see somebody else, you deserve something and you know it and they don't deserve it, but yet they get it and you don't. You've been passed by. What is your level of understanding? What is your reaction in those cases? Could it be described as loving? Could it be described as you're filled with patience? What about when your kids are just acting up? You've had a long day at work and your kids are just doing what kids do. What's your reaction? Because that's what this is all about. It's about your reaction. And is your tolerance of problems and the unexpected and things you don't like, is it? Is it high, or are you easily angered? Are you easily frustrated? When there's a salesperson who's slower than you want, or you don't get enough water at a restaurant, and you know the water glass is empty, and where is he? Where is she? And you're looking around, and you're just kind of, the anger, it's underneath, and maybe it's not spoken, or maybe it is spoken. And when they come, you just unload. Patience. Number one, out of the box. It's like, and you could look at this definition like a big recipe. You could look at this definition like a big recipe. Patience is just one of the ingredients of love. Patience is just one ingredient of love. And you know, when you're putting something together and you're putting a recipe together, sometimes you at the end, if you've missed an ingredient, you say, that doesn't taste exactly right. Something's missing. I forgot the salt, and it really alters the flavor completely. Or I forgot the butter, and it completely alters the taste. And you wonder, what's wrong with it? And this is the same thing with love. You might be really strong in some of the other things, but you might be really weak in other areas. It's not good enough to say, I'm okay. This is not a partial credit exam where, okay, fine, I'm doing really strong in those, and I'm going to leave the other ones because I don't need that. I think I'm going to pass. You need to be aware of all these things and working and letting God work in you for all of these areas. And what happens when people don't do things your way? What happens when somebody might be doing something and you just don't like the way they're doing it? Are you the kind of person that just takes the thing and says, all right, I'm going to do it myself. I can't watch you do this anymore. I got to do it myself. Just take it. Because patience actually bears with someone else. They bear with somebody else. They're not so quick to say, this is the way it has to be, and I have to do it my way. And if it's not done my way, it's not done the right way. Sometimes it might even be your way might be the right way. But what is your reaction to it? Because it doesn't mean that you can't correct any. It doesn't mean that you're not allowed. The Bible doesn't want you to correct something that's wrong or help somebody that's struggling. But how do you do it? Do you do it in what way? In a way that could be described as patient and loving? It doesn't mean you can't do it. It just means that you should do it in a godly manner. This takes away the excuse which says, well, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. The Bible says we should be more like Christ, not more like ourselves, not more like our own nature. We should be like Christ. And then we go into the other word, long suffering, which many of you might have in your versions of the Bible. It's actually made up of two words in the original language, which one of them is long and the other one is temper, which means we should be long tempered. It should be take us a while to have our temper raised. We should be a moderate way, and we should not be easily angered. Long suffering has the meaning that we should not get angry quickly. Now I know some of you. Maybe you were raised in a house where yelling and screaming and it was part of everyday life. That was table talk. This is Jesus now. This is what the Bible says. We should be long suffering. We should not hit that boiling point so fast. We should not be that volcano that's just ready to explode anytime. Long suffering means we should be not reactionary. We shouldn't hear something and then fly off the handle.
Long-suffering means you shouldn't be doing that. Remember, grade yourself. Remember, keep a running total of these things, because this is just putting meat to what the Bible says. We run past these verses and we say, love is patient, love is kind, does not envy, does not boast, does not... And we think we're past. No, take some time. Realize what it's saying. Make it apply to your life. Make it relevant to your actions, because in the end of the age, when Jesus says these are the most important things, we're going to be held accountable for that at the end of the age. It's the most important thing. Be patient. Be kind. We're not easily rattled. Don't always have a word coming back. Somebody says something to you. How quick are you on that? How quick are you to fire something back at them? It's not long suffering. If we have a quick trigger, it's not long suffering. It's quick tempered. We have examples of all that kind of thing all over around us in this day. People that just can't have anything said about them without saying something right back. Just can't do it. Can't be silent. Always have to retaliate. Always have to get in the last word. Not long-suffering. Not biblical at all. What about when, and you say, well, who could do that? Well, Jesus is our example. Do you remember when he was being tried? He was being tried right before he was put to death falsely. And there was all these accusations coming at him. And they were all false accusations. They were all completely untrue. And his friends had deserted him. If anybody had a right to say something, it was Jesus. And what did he do? He didn't say a word. He's our example. Maybe we want other people to be our example, but Jesus is our example. Didn't say a word. Let people say what they had to say and did not respond. There are times to respond. There are times to respond. But then there are times not to respond. We should not just follow our gut. We should follow the leading of God in us to know what we should be doing. And this is actually talking mostly about interactions between us, between people. But remember, the first commandment is that we should love God with all our heart and all our mind and our soul. How patient are you with God? Now that sounds a little ridiculous almost at first. How patient am I with God? Well, do you get upset at God right away? There are many people who are upset. There are many people who have left the church in general, not necessarily this body right here, but in general, you probably have met people who are just angry with God. They're just angry. I didn't get my way. He didn't answer my prayer. He didn't do what I expected. We're supposed to love God with patience as well, even when we don't understand, because you're not going to understand everything that God does. I don't even want to understand everything. I want God to be so much smarter than me, so much better than me, that I won't get it all the time. If he's as smart as me, he's not God. If he's only as smart as me, he's not God. So he's much bigger than me. Many of you have worked with people who are just, they're just off the charts brilliant. And they start talking and you're like, what are they saying? It's because, they understand things on a much greater level. Well, God is way beyond there, so we shouldn't expect to understand all his ways. He tells us, his ways are higher than yours. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So don't expect to understand everything. So that means we're going to have patience with God. We're not supposed to get so angry, so easily rattled with God. And then you turn it around and you say, this is the way God is with us, because God is love. And all these characteristics, he exhibits them towards us. He's patient with us. He's not easily angered with us. I know a lot of people have that impression. Maybe you were given that impression as a child, that God's just always angry with you. Whatever you do, if you do anything wrong, he's always angry with you. The Bible says he's loving.
The Bible says he's patient. The Bible says he's kind because he is love. The Bible says that God is love. So that means he's patient. He's kind. He's not easily angered. Despite what you've been told, God is not easily angered. Yeah, there's a God of wrath in the Old Testament. Jesus came and we're in a period of grace right now. So God is not just always angry at you for every mistake that you've made. He exhibits these qualities as well. And in addition to patience, you look at your life, you look at your example, you look at how you react to the things that happen to you, and you be honest and say, I'm patient or I'm not patient. And if you're not patient, ask God to forgive you. Ask God for help. Ask God, tell God, be honest with him. He knows anyway. I'm struggling with being patient, especially with that person, especially with this situation, especially in this circumstance. I need help, God. And the Bible tells us that if it's God's will, he will hear you and he will help. It says that we should ask for help when we need it. We should ask for wisdom, and he will give liberally on what to do and when to do it. He doesn't leave us just to struggle in ourselves, but he gives us the helper, the Holy Spirit within us, to help us overcome and help us do what we cannot do on our own. And the second thing that we'll talk about today is being kind. Patience, long-suffering, and then kindness. Kindness is more of an action, where patience is a reaction. I'm patient with others. I'm patient with this situation. I'm patient with traffic. I'm patient in all of these situations. It's how I react when something is done to me or around me or I'm in a circumstance. But kindness is how we act. Kindness is how we act towards someone else. Kindness is how we react to a situation. It's a completely different ball game. Kindness is what I do. It's my actions in a certain situation. Patience is a reaction in a situation. Kindness is an action, and it is marked by gentleness. It is marked by tenderness. It is marked by compassion. It is marked by sympathy. That's what kindness is. When you think of kindness and you think of who's a kind person, it usually a face pops to mind where this person will go out of their way for you. You ask that person, him or her, and they're glad to help. They're glad to be part of helping you, even if it inconveniences them. That's what kindness is at its root. Is a desire to help others, be there for others, even if it's just a listening ear. Kindness, marked by gentleness, marked by tenderness, marked by compassion, a sympathetic ear as well. See, kindness means that, and I know in our day, in our age, it's so hard. Kindness is not about you. And most people maybe they won't admit it, but their actions often show everything is about me. We have so many examples of this now. You look on reality TV and everything is about the person that they're highlighting. Everything is about who they are and what they can get and what they can do and what they will do. And it's all about number one. We've heard that so often. Number one. Well, Jesus is number one, and he says, do this. He says, be kind. And kindness is not about you. Kindness is about what you do for others.
kindness is about preferring others other than yourself, helping others other than yourself. And you say, well, I need help. Yes, of course. God does not leave you in a place where you're without help. But the Bible says this is love. This is love. Love is kindness. Can't get away with it. Another ingredient in the recipe. Another ingredient that goes into the overall mixture of what love is. Love is kind. It helps others. It thinks of others. It puts the needs of others ahead of yourself. It puts the needs of others in a place where your needs might not be the first thing. Now, there are certain things that have to be done. We have to work. We have to support ourselves. We can't just be out helping everybody, all day. But we can't leave people out of the equation. We can't leave people out. We have to be agents that are helping others in the world, just like Jesus did. Jesus was often inconvenienced, so to speak. He was often taken off of his course. Jesus, come to this house. Jesus, come to this house. There's a sick girl here. There's a sick man here. Jesus, would you come? It wasn't all, I got a lunch that I'm supposed to go to. I got other plans. I got a TV show that I'm watching tonight, and I got other things I got to do. Kindness puts the needs of others ahead of yourself. There's a balance to all that because there are needs that we must meet. We can't neglect our family because, we're helping somebody else. But if all we do is take care of our family to the neglect of everyone else, then that's imbalanced as well. We have to be kind. We have to... What about, are people, have you ever met somebody, and hopefully it's not you, that you're afraid to ask something to? Are people afraid to ask you anything because they know that you're going to snap at them? I'm sure there's people around you, maybe it's a neighbor, maybe it's a relative, maybe it's somebody you work with, where you know, if you ask them, you're gonna just hear it. They're just going to take your head off. This would not be considered a kind person. This would not be, well, maybe they're a kind person, but in that situation, it's not a kind characteristic. It's not a characteristic of kindness. If people can't approach you, you should be easily approached, just like Jesus. Jesus never got angry at somebody for coming and asking him a question. Maybe the Pharisees who were trying to trick him, those he rebuked them. But ever all those who were in need of help, he didn't say, come back tomorrow. You're bugging me. I've had a long day. Don't you know I just fed 5,000? I'm tired now. Go away. Well, they did send people away. But Jesus, no one ever came to him, and the Bible never tells us that he said, no, not today. I'm done. He was there for others. He's our example. He's our example. The worship team, you could come on up. We're almost done. And now I'll ask you the same question. I'll have you think about the same thing. Are we kind to God? Remember, loving people is one thing. Loving God is number one. So are we kind to God? And you also say, well, that doesn't seem to apply. But in a sense, it does. Are we looking out for what God wants, or are we looking out only for what we want? Do we? If you're in a relationship with a friend and you never spend time with that friend, that doesn't seem like a kind thing either. That doesn't seem very gracious. I never want to talk to him. I only want one-sided. I only want God to do things for me. I never want to do anything for God. I never want to put myself out. I never want to sacrifice anyway. But I want God to be there for me whenever I want. I want the bat phone to be able to contact that direct line, and I want him to answer right away. But if you want something from me, I'm not even listening. One-sided. If you have a friendship that's one-sided, how long does that last? You're thinking to myself, okay, I need to get out of this relationship. How are we with God? How are we with God? Are we kind to Him? Or is it all about us? Kindness is not about you. Are we sensitive to the needs of God? Are we sensitive to His voice? Do we ever listen to Him? Are we just so busy with all of our things that we never hear Him, we never pay attention to Him unless we need something from Him? And we all have friends like that too. Here they come again. What do they want? They want money. They want a favor. They need help moving. They need this. They need that. Well, it's supposed to be a two-way relationship. Kindness does that. Are we kind with God? And then, of course, you could look at, since God is love, He is very kind to us. He's very gracious. He's very loving. He's very sympathetic to us. In fact, Jesus, it says of Jesus that He was tempted in all ways like we were. He became a man so that He could understand what you go through. He became a man so that He could identify with your problem. Maybe He doesn't have the exact problem, but He's experienced the feelings, is what the Bible says. He's experienced the feelings. So yes, he didn't have a broken phone because there wasn't phones. He didn't have a mortgage issue. He didn't have those things. But He understands the feeling of being without, and He understands the feelings of being alone, and He understands that. He understands the feeling of being betrayed. He understands the feeling of being lied about. He understands the feeling of being slandered. He could identify with who you are and what you're going through. He's kind. And that's the way He approaches His relationship with you. And all these things, all these characteristics that many we haven't gotten to, so many, they're all much easier when we're not under stress. When everything's going good. You have all the free time. It might be a free Saturday, and you don't have anything to do. You don't have anything scheduled. There's nobody around you. It's free, and somebody calls. Yeah, okay, fine. I'm good to talk. But when you have a lot of things and the crush is on and the pressure is on, then we often see who we are if we're really part of these characters, if we're really kind, if we're really patient. It's easy to be patient when you have all the time, all the resources, all the energy. But is it easy when there's a boss breathing down your neck, when there's a deadline, when we're late? And it's a different story. But the Bible doesn't say that we only need to be loving when there's no stress. When there's no problems, when there's no situations. The Bible says just we need to be loving. It's the greatest commandment. It's the first and second great commandment. We will be graded. And the Bible tells us one last thing. It's in 1 Corinthians 14. It's verse number 1, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it. But it says that we're supposed to pursue love. We're supposed to pursue it. We're supposed to run after it. We're supposed to chase it. We're not supposed to just let it go by. We're not supposed to just let it slip on by. We're supposed to pursue after it. We're supposed to realize our shortcomings, and we're supposed to do something about it. We're supposed to run after it. We're supposed to obtain it. Yes, it's a little bit elusive. We have to make some effort, and pursue means you've got to expend some energy, because we're not what we're supposed to be. We're not as loving as we might originally think. Once we start putting some meat to the definition of love, we probably all realize I fall short in one or two of these areas. And the Bible says, pursue them. Don't let them go.
Don't let this part go. You should be striving for all of these things. As difficult as it is, as unattainable as it is, the Holy Spirit is in you to help. And so we should be pursuing. We should be pursuing with all of our might. The Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your might, all your soul. We should be pursuing with all of our might. I will need to do this. I need to do this. I need to get better at this. This is the first thing on my mind. First commandment, I'm going to keep it where it belongs. Pursue love. Pursue love. The world will be changed. So many problems in this world, they would be solved if we just had what these few verses say. The wars would be over. The wealth of the world would be distributed in places that have nothing. Instead of people just gathering all for themselves, we would be looking out for the needs of others. If we had love, the problems, so many of the major problems of this world would go away. Not all of them, but so many of the things which the world struggles with would all go away or be so much better if we just pursued love and what the Bible says in these couple of verses. There are conferences and panels and questions and all that stuff all over about what do we do about problems. If we concentrated on just these couple of verses, most of it, many of it, I'm not an expert on every problem in the world, of course, many of our problems would go away if we would just follow what the Bible says. May He give us strength to do that and empowered from the inside out to show love to all men, because the Bible says that people will know us by the love that we show for one another. They'll be attracted to love, and His kingdom will grow in you and in others. His name be praised.